Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Alright, thank you DJ Q. He has brought us smoothly into the last segment of the show. I am Jay Flemmer, you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Thank you, DJ Q. Thank you, Fish. And thank you to JB's Best Hot Sauce, our show sponsor. John Burnwood, a golf writer from the PGA of America, left being a golf writer to chase his dream of making hot sauce, and it's now on every table in the Deep South. And our guest, Gary D'Amato, is going to get a chance to win a bottle for himself and a t-shirt that says, "I'm a hottie." Are you ready for your trivia question, Gary?
I want to win that hot sauce, so make it an easy one, Jay, all right?
Well, you got to talk to Burwell. He's the one that sends the questions up. But you got a reasonable shot at this one, okay? A lot of people, when they come on the show, they get upset because they usually, you know, like, the golf writers tend not to get golf questions. You know, they tend to get pop culture. But this one, you got a shot at. It's a little off the wall. When I opened up the envelope to see the question, I actually started to laugh. So here we go. The mascot of the Jay's Plays show is a male tuxedo cat named after this Western golf course. I'll repeat the question for you.
Okay.
The mascot of the Jay's Plays show is a male tuxedo cat named after which Western golf course?
Oh man, couldn't have been a Wisconsin golf course. That would have made it.
Well, that's not Western. Yeah, basically, what's a good name for a male cat that also is the name of a golf course? From the West.
Yeah. From the West. I'm thinking Arizona. I'm thinking California, Nevada. I'm trying to think of the great golf courses out there. It's one of the hurdles, or is it?
I'm sorry.
Golf course.
Say it again.
Is it a golf course I've heard of, or is it an obscure course?
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, that wouldn't have been fair. If it was a golf course you never heard of, that wouldn't be fair.
Oh, man, I have no idea. I have no idea. You've completely stumped me.
Give us a wild guess, just in case.
Lion's Paw.
We were looking for Torrey.
Oh, you know what? Honestly, that came to mind. But I didn't say it, and I should have, honestly.
Yeah. Torrey the cat, Torrey the tuxedo, is the mascot of the Jay's Plays show. Yes, that actually is his full name, Torrey Pines La Jolla Flemma, on his papers. Torrey to his friends. I got to tell you, okay, he's the greatest golf cat ever. He really does have the tuxedo markings. He's got a little black nose, and they call that the Clark Gable. And the back of his legs are black as well, and that's called tux and tail. So he's definitely handsome, and he's a lot of good luck. You know, he was a rescue, and, you know, the old adage is true. Who rescued who? So, having so much fun. But let's continue right now with the final segment. Let's talk a little bit more about who your picks are to win this week. I know you mentioned Dustin Johnson, and I know that he's the hot pick right now and the hottest golfer on the PGA Tour. So that one definitely is also in my column. But who else do you have?
You know, I just don't think it's going to be a surprise winner. I think it's going to be a bomber. And I think it could be, you know, I like Sergio Garcia to follow up his Masters victory. He's got the monkey off his back. He's definitely long enough, and he's a great iron player. If he putts well, I see him being in the mix. I like John Rahm. But my sentimental pick is Steve Stricker, Madison, Wisconsin's finest, 50 years old, qualified in sectional qualifying after the USGA declined or denied his application for a special exemption. Steve is going to have massive, massive galleries, and he's going to be fired up. And I think he's not a bomber, certainly not anymore, but he's got a great wedge game and short game. He knows his strengths and weaknesses. He plays to his strengths. He knows his game. And I see him being a factor. I really do.
You know, it would be such a feel-good story. Is it at all possible? Because I remember we said the same thing a couple of times at Whistling Straits.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the reasons why we said it at Whistling Straits is because he played so well at Atlanta Athletic Club that one year, opening with a 63. So it was kind of a natural thing to think that the hometown boy would play well. Is it at all possible that maybe having that, you know, really fired up crowd might actually be a bit of a negative, and that it might be tougher for him to calm down and slow down his breathing, you know, that the crowd wanting to get behind him so much and having so much energy might, you know, just sort of push him a little bit too far the other way?
Well, I think it could on Sunday. I mean, if he does get in the mix and he's in the hunt with a chance to win, I think it could work against him on Sunday because he's an emotional guy. He's never won a major. He's come close a bunch of times. And if he's in the hunt on Sunday and all these people are cheering, I mean, he'll have 20,000 people in his gallery cheering for him. He's not going to be, he's going to have a hard time doing those things you said. And he, you know, his emotions are going to be welling up. And I think it's going to be very hard for him. But I think the first couple of days, it's actually going to help him. I think it's going to keep him focused. And I think he's going to play well.
Now, you also mentioned Sergio. I gave him a long look, and one of the reasons why I didn't go with him is that he has taken a wonderful but long victory lap after the Masters. And frequently, guys do have a bit of a letdown. You know, if their first major win is the Masters, they sometimes don't tend to play as well in the U.S. Open afterwards. You know, but I also think that he has a point in his favor and that he plays very well on U.K.-style golf courses. And Erin Hills is a bit like a Heathland inland links like you might find in England. Is that fair?
That's fair. It's definitely not a links course because you can only run the ball on two greens there. You can only bounce the ball onto two greens. And there's other things. I mean, it's not close to an ocean, obviously. There's no salt spray. But it has some of those characteristics, and it has some Houston characteristics. And you're right. Sergio plays well on those courses. I just have a feeling from my own. You're right. He's taken a long victory lap. He's soaked it in as well he should after all those frustrations in the major championships. But he has no pressure on him now, and I think that's going to help him. And I expect him to play well.
Now, it was a big surprise to see Jason Duffner win a couple of weeks ago. And so someone that I did not give a look to that had sort of faded off of all of our radar screens has suddenly jumped up. Do you think he'll also play well at Erin Hills, or do you think that that was a bit of an anomaly?
I tend to think it was a bit of an anomaly. I've heard Jason Duffner say a couple times, or at least once, that he considers golf a job and not, I don't think he's not passionate about it like some golfers are, but he hung around with a couple guys down in Florida, Justin Thomas and some young players who, Ricky Fowler, who really want to be good and want to be great players and are working hard, and it sort of rubbed off on him, and he sort of credited those guys for reigniting a fire in him. But who knows how long that can last. I don't think he's the kind of guy that has proven that he's had sustained stretches of excellence. So I think it was more of an anomaly, to be honest with you.
Now, a couple of names that popped up on my radar screen. You know, I have seen Rory McIlroy do some amazing things at amazing times. We watched him fall out of the sky at the Masters and then run everybody over with a truck at the very next major at Congressional, taking a boatload of major records, including all the biggies. And then he goes and he stomps everybody the same exact way at Kiawah Island. He puts a four major stretch together in a short period of time. You know, I kept him on my list despite the fact that I know that he's had some injury problems. What are your thoughts on Rory McIlroy's chances?
Well, you know, he's a bit of a unknown right now. I mean, he's had that rib injury. I don't think it's a real serious injury, but he's taking some time off. Says he's going to be ready for the Open. Obviously, a streaky player, as you mentioned, when he gets hot, he's almost unbeatable. But he can also, throw in double bogeys and bad rounds here and there. And it's impossible to know what kind of shape his game's in because we haven't seen much of him the last, you know, several weeks. So I see him being a factor only if he gets off to a great start. I don't think if he shoots, you know, one or two over in the second round, I don't think he's going to come back and contend. I think he needs to get off to a good start.
Two other names that I had on my list. Some people call them plotters. I think they are vastly underrated by a lot of golf fans, and they are Louis Westhuizen and Webb Simpson, both of whom have won majors.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly, you know, you can't overlook guys like that. Charles Schwartzel, even Martin Keimer, who's been up and down but has won major championships. There's a whole group of guys like that who have won a major or two, know how to get it done. And, you know, any one of those guys could emerge or more than one and contend. So I think that's a good group right there.
All right, now you bring up Martin Keimer, and unfortunately for all of us, our last memory of Martin Keimer is of him sitting in the dark in what appears to be his basement, surrounded by empty Pringles cans in the middle of the night, sending us a missive about how wrong we are to criticize Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what we're going to bring up. We have to talk about it. It is the news du jour, despite the fact that I sometimes think that, you know, we in the media have a bit of a Tiger addiction ourselves. But, you know, what is your opinion on what has happened to Tiger, and what do you think is the most productive solution for him going forward?
Well, I'll make one prediction. He won't win the U.S. Open. How's that? Take that. You can put money on that one.
yeah, but we probably have to lay $10,000 just to win one.
Yeah,
maybe more.
Poor Tiger. Very unfortunate. If you've seen the video, the dash cam video of his of them giving him the sobriety test and everything, it's not a pretty picture. You know, I hate to get into speculation here. Nobody knows really what's going on with Tiger. But one thing that's a red flag is that he's been saying, writing on his website and telling people his knee has never felt better. Feels great. He has no pain anymore. But then, you know, the list of drugs that appeared on the police report that he had taken included Vicodin. And you just wonder if he's pain-free, why he's taking Vicodin. I mean, I'm not passing any judgments. I hate to do any speculation here, but it just kind of raises a red flag. What's he doing taking Vicodin if he's pain-free? So I don't know. It's just really unfortunate how a guy who was maybe at least if not the greatest champion ever, certainly played the best golf ever, I think, for a stretch of 8 or 10 years, and how far he's fallen since then.
That's a great way to word it. Okay, you know, I do agree with you on that. That I think Jack Nicklaus, or possibly even Arnold Palmer, were our greatest champion, and Phil Mickelson's a heck of a champion. But,
yes.
You know, Tiger did perhaps play the best golf. You know, there's questions that surround things there. But let's go back again to something that Peter Kessler brought up in segment two of the show. He spoke with one of Tiger's doctors. And something resonated with me, both legally and in terms of, you know, how we feel emotionally about this, which is Tiger's doctor said that he should have been done taking pain medication within 3 days of the operation in April.
Well, that is a scary thought. And, you know, he's had obviously so many procedures, four back procedures, a number of knee operations. You wonder if he's been taking some of that pain medication all along a little bit to sort of alleviate the aches and pains from all those surgeries and the accumulated aches and pains of bad joints. But yeah, that as I said, Jay, I think it's a red flag anytime. You know, we had a football hero up here named Brett Favre, who was Green Bay Packers quarterback, who was hooked on Vicodin and had to go to the Meninger clinic and clean up. So it's not something you can trifle with, that's for sure.
Now you raise the next point that I was going to bring up, and I want to take it to a level deeper. I'm worried that a lot of us in the media, not me, and not a lot of the people that I tend to hang out with, and I tend to hang out with the older golf writers because I like to learn from them, learn the way they did, learn to do it right, you know, and many of us are opposed to the position that people are taking that say, oh, we need to give him a free pass. We need to not, you know, hold this against him. He did not have the mens rea to drive the car if he didn't know where he was and he was on these pills. But the mens rea isn't so much getting behind the wheel, even if he was, as some say, sleep driving. It's the taking of the pills in the first place to put you at risk in that position. And if that's the case, I think that pandering Tiger, and I think that giving him a free pass is the worst thing that we can do, because it won't get him into the rehab that it possibly appears he needs. And I'll give you an analogy. As you know, Fish is a sponsor of this show, and they are dear friends of mine and have been since 1989, when they played my fraternity house on the night I graduated college. And I've worked with them, and I've, you know, for 30 on years almost now, I've traveled with them and I've seen them, and you know, they've become friends. And Trey Anastasio had a drug problem for a while. You know, essentially he might have broken the band up over it. And then one day when his wife kicked him out of the house, he had to drive from New York to their other house in Burlington, and he was driving through Whitehall, and Officer Friendly pulled him over at 3 a.m. for weaving and arrested him for driving under the influence. Trey went to drug court. Trey cleaned up his act. He stopped doing all drugs. He put the band back together. Now they are firing on all cylinders every bit as well as they did 15 years ago. This August, the day before the PGA Championship starts, a banner will be raised in Madison Square Garden in their honor, because they will have completed the longest run in Madison Square Garden history, 13 straight shows.
Wow.
If Tiger is to have that one more major or one more bit of glory that a lot of the writers want, I think the only way it happens is if he goes to rehab and cleans up his act. If we give him a free pass, I don't know if the behavior's going to change. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I would agree with you if he's got a drug problem. Now, we don't know that he's got a drug problem. I mean, certainly that night he did. Certainly that night he did something that he shouldn't have done. He took some pills, maybe mixed medications he shouldn't have mixed, and definitely should not have been behind the wheel of a car, obviously. But I think it's premature maybe to say that he definitely does have a drug problem. We don't know that. The signs are
I mean more the question of if he does. And again,
okay,
it's all speculative. You know, and you can make a strong argument on that video, because that video is damning evidence that,
yes,
that something's horribly
Absolutely.
Wrong. But do you feel that perhaps if he has a problem, it will be easier for him to get over it if he gets help and gets clean?
Well, there's no question it would be easier for him to get, if he gets outside help. But, you know, we've seen Tiger, we know him, and we've seen him how he operates for many years. He is loath to turn things over. I mean, he's definitely a control freak and is loath to turn things over in his life to outside agencies and influences. You would hope that would be the case. You would hope he wouldn't, if he does have a problem, that he wouldn't try to, you know, clean up by himself, because it's very hard to do without that help you talk about, without professional help and guidance. So, you know, hopefully the people that are close to him would urge him to get that help if that's the case.
Yeah, and the one thing that we all definitely have sympathy with Tiger about is this, that these pills, these 21st century medications, are dangerously strong. In a way, medicine's almost gotten too good, at being able to kill the pain. And it's something that has become a grave epidemic in this country, where any ordinary citizen is at risk, even if they just take it as prescribed by a doctor, something could go horribly wrong. You know, and that could possibly be what happened here too. It may be that this is a one-off thing that went horribly, horribly wrong on that night. But what we definitely know is, whatever happened that night can't happen again, because the next time he might not hit whatever it was that he hit with the car. You know, he could hurt himself or somebody
else. Or someone else, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and, you know, Peter came on the show, and he even mentioned that he thought that there, you know, that perhaps Mark Steinberg could be of help in this regard, because, you know, Mark had an issue himself and has not had an issue since. And that we also know that during the 09 scandal, that Mark was actually watching out to make sure things like that did not happen. You know, there was the famous excited utterance one day when one of the ladies was leaving that Tiger said, you know, if my manager saw you, we'd be in an awful lot of trouble. So, you know, we have to hope that at some point the people around him, you know, are going to realize as well that if there is a problem, that it's in everybody's best interest, especially Tiger's, you know, to take some time and make the necessary change. But, you know, we all wish him well, and we'll miss him at the Open, and, you know, we wish him a speedy recovery, and we hope that things get better. But happier things, it is the week of the National Championship. We are only a month after that away from the World Championship, the de facto World Championship, at Royal Birkdale, and then we've got the PGA Championship coming up at Quail Hollow. So last question, tell us a little bit about Royal Birkdale, and tell us a little bit about Quail Hollow.
Well, you know, Quail Hollow's been a really fine venue on the PGA Tour for a number of years now, but, you know, untested as a major championship venue, that's going to be interesting. Royal Birkdale obviously has a long history, as do all the courses in the British Open Championship rotation. So, majors are so much fun. I wish I used to cover the championship every year when our newspaper spent money on going over there. And who knows? If Steve Stricker wins the U.S. Open, I'll be going into that.
Well, I'll tell you, if Sergio wins the U.S. Open, there'll be a lot of golf writers going over to Royal Birkdale, too. Gary, it's been phenomenal to have you on the show. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in just a few days in the Media Center.
I'll look forward to that Tuesday. Thank you.
Fantastic. Everybody, it's been another great Jay's Play show. I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of DJ Q. And next time you see me, we'll be on Standard Central Time from Wisconsin. Everybody, have a great week.
We're at the end of another great Jay's Play show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner, including me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.